Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is suing the Wisconsin Elections Commission in hopes of getting his name removed from this year's presidential ballot. It's Thursday, September 5th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, we've got a report about the state of wages in Wisconsin, and we'll have the details on the first inland lake in the state with a confirmed population of invasive quagga mussels. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today is a perfect way to stay current on Wisconsin news, including headlines with context from around the state. It's your support that makes it possible. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Former independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now suing the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He's looking to get his name removed from state presidential ballots. Rich Kramer reports this comes days after commissioners voted to add him to ballots statewide.
Kennedy's lawsuit argues the commission's decision to place him on the ballot after he suspended his presidential bid last month violates his rights to free speech and association under the U.S. Constitution. It also says state laws setting different deadlines for major party and independent party candidates to certify their nominees present constitutional problems. The Wisconsin Elections Commission ultimately voted 5-1 to place Kennedy on the ballot, with only Republican Commissioner Bob Spindell voting against. Democrat Ann Jacobs, who chairs the Elections Commission, said Wisconsin law requires candidates to stay on the ballot unless they die. A similar lawsuit filed by Kennedy in Michigan was rejected Tuesday, with the judge ruling the state is not obligated to honor the whims of candidates for public office. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
President Joe Biden will visit Western Wisconsin today to highlight new clean energy funding for rural electric cooperatives. The president will be in Westby this afternoon to announce nearly $600 million for Dairyland Power Cooperative. It's one of 16 rural electric cooperatives receiving renewable energy funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. Dairyland will use the money to purchase power from 8 new wind and solar installations in the region. The project is expected to lower energy costs for customers by as much as 42% over the next 10 years. It will also cut the cooperative's carbon emissions by 70%. Biden's visit will be his first in the state since dropping out of the presidential race in July. He's also scheduled to speak in Michigan on Friday. This is part of a series of trips to so-called blue wall states, which are being courted by Democrats ahead of the November election. In a new study published in the journal Nature, UW-Madison scientists helped engineer a replacement for BPA in plastic products. BPA is a chemical that's used in plastics such as water bottles. Some scientists say it could be hazardous to human health. In pursuit of an alternative, UW-Madison scientists helped find a way to chemically break down wood and transform it into a BPA replacement. Shijun Pan is a professor of biological systems engineering at Madison and collaborated on the study. He says extracting compounds from wood is tricky, but the study succeeded by developing a new chemical approach. The goal is to someday make the wood-derived compound as economical as BPA.
From fundamental research into a real industry, there's still a long way to go.
The study is part of a larger movement in chemistry to extract useful compounds from plants instead of fossil fuels. Environmental regulators and advocates in Wisconsin say the state is facing a large backlog in setting groundwater standards. As Danielle Kading reports, that includes 46 standards recommended within the last 5 years.
Those would set or revise limits for PFAS pesticides and metals. That's according to the latest report from the state's Groundwater Coordinating Council. Groundwater is a source of drinking water for 2/3 of state residents. Steve Elmore is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says a 2017 law that prevents agencies from working on costly rules without legislative approval has been a roadblock.
That's been something that has limited our ability to set new groundwater standards, and so then the recommendations just keep piling up.
The state hasn't updated groundwater standards in more than a decade. Most recently, the DNR was forced to abandon PFAS limits in groundwater due to excessive compliance costs. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Geneva Lake in Walworth County has become the first inland lake in Wisconsin with a confirmed population of invasive quagga mussels. The Department of Natural Resources said a local environmental group spotted the mussels during routine testing. Jake Vander Zanden directs UW-Madison's Center for Limnology, the study of lakes. He says quaggas are similar to invasive zebra mussels, which already live in lakes across Wisconsin. Both species disrupt aquatic food chains, but quagga mussels are better at growing on soft surfaces.
Between these two species, you can colonize the hard surfaces and you can colonize the soft surfaces.
That's why he says quagga mussels are a bigger danger to Wisconsin's inland lakes.
Most lakes are mostly soft bottom.
The DNR says the public can mitigate the spread of quagga mussels by cleaning boats and boating equipment. Coming up, Addie Costello has a report on assisted living closures across Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
I'm wondering how hot this summer is going to be.
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just, this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
And finally, Wisconsin is getting older. And as the state ages, more people need long-term care. But despite that growing demand, many providers cannot cover their bills. The state's health department reported that 148 assisted living facilities closed voluntarily in 2023 alone. Closures continued into this year, with many providers citing issues such as increased staffing costs and lagging state reimbursements. Addie Costello reports on the closures and the temporary solution aimed at stopping them.
From the outside, Rosalanda's assisted living home looks like any other house in the Madison neighborhood. And in many ways, Good Hand Care is like any other home. Residents read and watch TV together. Landa's twins visit the house and play in the yard. And in the kitchen, she and her mom prepare home-cooked meals. For today's lunch, Landa mixes tuna salad while her mom grills quesadillas for the picky eaters in the house. By 11, the table is set.
Lunch is ready, Pam. Lunch is ready, Babbitt.
Landa sits with residents at the small kitchen table. They play word games as they eat. Everyone tries to think of words that start with the letter R.
Instead of a mouse, it's a...
Yeah, that's what everyone was thinking. I don't know if I wanted to say it out loud. Everybody's eating.
Up until a couple of months ago, Landa lived in the home alongside residents. With only four people in the house, Landa says,
you get to know them, like, thoroughly. You get to know them in their ups and downs, their good and their bads. They become kind of like a family.
But they're also customers. Landa says most pay for their care through Medicaid, but the government payments don't always match the cost of care. Early on, Landa remembers thinking,
I'm not going to be able to keep the house open.
Many providers haven't. WPR obtained records from 86 providers who closed in the last 5 years, displacing over 750 residents. Almost two-thirds listed low state reimbursements or staffing shortages in their reasons for closing. Wisconsin Medicaid Director Bill Hanna says the state's long-term care providers need help fast.
It's at a crisis point right now.
Last month, Governor Tony Evers directed the state health department to use pandemic relief dollars to increase reimbursements and set a minimum monthly payment for providers. That won't start until October, but Hanna says it's already helping.
I got phone calls the day of the announcement from providers who called and said we were about to tell our board we needed to start closing procedures, but because of the minimum fee, we're able to stay open.
But that relief is only guaranteed through June of next year. Then it's up to the legislature to decide if the state will pay to continue the increase. Lawmakers already blocked the plan in April. While advocates and providers hope the increase will stick, they say it's not enough.
I don't think they understand it. They don't see it. They don't live it. We do.
That's Barbara Hendricks. She owns Marvin's Manor, an assisted living facility in Dodge County.
To retain staff, Hendrick says she raised employee wages from around $14 to $17 an hour. But as staff wages got higher, Hendrick's Medicaid rate stayed the same. After covering costs with her own savings, Hendrick decided to close her other facility in Waupun last month, forcing 12 seniors to move.
Going to see the residents now, you can see they're sad. They're not home. They're just not home.
Hendrick says her Dodge County facility will just make it, but only because around half of the facility's residents pay privately. She says Medicaid pays her a little more than half of what she normally charges. While she's not expecting to get rich, she hopes to see a rate increase so she can afford to do more for all the seniors in her care.
Their life doesn't end coming to an assisted living. It shouldn't. They should still have fun and enjoy life. And we make that happen.
Whether it's paying for a concert from a local musician or making root beer floats, she still finds ways to splurge for her residents. Addie Costello, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This piece was produced in partnership with the nonprofit Wisconsin Watch. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News, and thanks for making us a part of your morning. We really do appreciate it. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We're back in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning with the latest news. So as always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.